May the words that I speak be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading from the prophet Isaiah gives us a vivid picture of a holy God, awesome and majestic. The sight, the sound, the shaking, and the smoke filled Isaiah with fear and awe, and he realized his own unworthiness. The seraphs represented the heavenly host who attended God. And we may not fully understand the imagery, but surely we can catch something of the greatness of God, his holiness, someone to be worshipped and adored. Today, as we've already thought, is Trinity Sunday, when we think of the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And again, this is a concept that we sometimes struggle with. But perhaps that is because we try to make it too difficult. A writer, David Edwards, in his book, What Christians Believe, wrote this. The teaching about the Trinity comes from what Christians have experienced of God at work in various ways. So it may help us to think through what we know of God and how we experience his power in our lives in different ways. So let us think of God the Father. Jesus in the Gospels spoke frequently about his Father and showed us a God as a loving Father figure. He taught us to say, Our Father, when we pray. So this is someone with whom we can have a close, loving relationship. But important as this is, we sometimes overemphasize this side of his character. For in the Old Testament, particularly, we are shown, as in Isaiah's vision, God's greatness, his otherness, or his omnipotence. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train, his robe filled the temple. We see him too as a judge, exercising judge over the nations. And if we turn back to the book of Genesis, we see him as creator. Right at the beginning, his power is shown in creation. We see him as an active agent in the world today, because we see that power around us as we look at nature and all the things that God has given us. Then let us think of the Son, Jesus the Son. We meet him in the Gospels and read about the things that he did and the truths that he taught. We have the witness of those who saw him in the flesh, those who experienced his miracles, his death and his resurrection. In the Gospel reading from St. John, we learn that God sent his Son into the world because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We believe this through faith, and we experience then the joy and peace of forgiveness, the knowledge of a friend who walks beside us. The person of Jesus is often far more easy to visualize than perhaps is the Father. But we must not forget that Jesus said, I and the Father are one, and who has seen me has seen the Father. Then let us think of the Spirit. Jesus made a promise to his disciples that when he returned to heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit, described as the counselor, the comforter, someone who would be a helper, a teacher and a guide. Someone to empower them for the work that he had left them to do. It was a promise that had been made long before by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had only been given to a few people to equip them for special tasks. And Jesus received the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the day of his baptism. But it was then on the day of Pentecost, the promise was fulfilled finally for all believers. Not just to those in Jerusalem on that day, but for all believers for all time, for you and for me. If we turn again to the gospel reading, we find Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who came to him under cover of darkness. He wanted to know who Jesus was and how he was able to perform miracles. Where did his power come from? Now, Jesus didn't answer his question directly, but he explained that to experience and understand God's kingdom, it was necessary to begin a new life, and this would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Water signified the repentance, as it was in the baptism of John the Baptist. When people came and repented, they were baptized as an outward sign of their inward repentance. But the Spirit allowing God's power to be at work through us. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to believe, and it is the Holy Spirit who kindles faith in us. So we experience the work of the three persons of the Trinity, but not in isolation. The work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are intertwined. All three were at work in creation, for we read the Spirit of God hovered over the water. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Not let me, but let us. The Son and the Holy Spirit working together with the Father. And then at Jesus' baptism, of course, Jesus was there. And then there was the voice of the Father was heard. "You are my Son, whom I love." And the dove was seen as representing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended on him bodily in the form of a dove. Jesus received the assurance from his Father and the power of the Holy Spirit that he was in the right place and doing the right thing. And then in salvation. Salvation is through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus. But it was the Father who sent the Son into the world. As Jesus had said to Nicodemus, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." And it is the Holy Spirit who works in our lives to bring us to that point of conviction. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the promised Holy Spirit, he said, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." The Holy Spirit came to show us what is right and what is wrong, and then to empower us day by day. And finally, in our daily lives, there is God the Father who sustains us through his creation. The Son, who is our friend, but who walks beside us. And through the presence of his Holy Spirit, he is there to guide us and encourage us and protect us. So the Trinity, three persons with different parts to play, but whose action in our lives cannot easily be separated. So we pray. Let us give praise to the Father, who by his grace has made us his children, to the Son, who by his death and resurrection has brought us new life, to the Spirit, who dwells in our hearts and strengthens us for service. To the Holy Trinity be praise and glory forever. Amen.